Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. And I want to preach on a thought, and you'll see this when I get to the verse on, is anything too hard? Is anything too hard? It gets hard for us sometimes, and I'll deal with that too. But I think sometimes we just think things are too hard, and we just don't want to do them. And I'm determined to that. I remember years ago when we took the church, we went down to a little festival, fall festival, down toward Riceville, I believe it was, some kind of pumpkin festival. And we got out there and we were racing on these, you remember that, Miss Beverly, those pedal car bicycle looking things. And I got all the way down, almost to the very last lap, and I quit because it got hard. Now, a lot of times we quit because we think it gets hard, and all I liked was one more lap, and I'd have been done. Sometimes we just quit a lap early sometimes because it gets hard. But I want to preach today, is anything too hard? Genesis chapter 18. Ain't that exciting today? Amen. All right, don't let me kill this thing before we get started today. Genesis chapter 18. I'll ask you to stand to your feet today. If you would, we'll reverence the reading of God's word. Are you happy to be in God's house? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad to see everybody here today. Let's get excited about serving the Lord. Genesis 18, look in verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, talking about Abraham. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And said, My Lord, if now I have favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Boy, ain't that what we need today? Well, if we found favor in God's sight and the Lord's sight, we certainly don't want him to pass away, do we? We want him to stay with us. Amen. He said, little water, I pray you be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hasted into the tent and unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly three measures of meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, Now notice, now I want you to pay attention right here. There's three of them standing around right here plus Abraham. And then all of a sudden we get to verse 10 and it becomes singular. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. And now Abraham and Sarah were old, well stricken in age. And he ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. And therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah lie, saying, shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And when the men arose up from thence, he looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you today. Thank you for this wonderful singing we've already heard. And Lord, I pray it's been a blessing to people, and but it's preaching time. And I pray that, Lord, that you'd help us for just a little while. Lord, just to call back to our mind what you've showed us out of the Word of God. But Lord, we certainly need a touch from you this morning, and that from heaven. And Lord, just let me preach what you've given me, and move in my mouth and in my heart today. And Lord, I pray you'd hinder Satan in this service. And Lord, that you'd have liberty to move upon folks' hearts. And Lord, we really need you. We really need you to come by and help today. And Lord, I certainly need you. I pray you'd save somebody that might be lost and encourage those that need encouragement. Give direction to those that need direction. And Lord, we'll tell you again that we love you. Would you please help us? Lord, I'm looking to heaven for my help today. And we thank you for all that you've done. Save that sinner its nearest tail for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated today. As we look back in Genesis chapter 17, you'll find that that's not the first time that God had ever made that promise, and that to Abraham. If you go back into verse chapter 17, in verse 15, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? So even at a time here, even Abraham struggled in that to believe what God had to say. Let me ask you something today. Have we ever struggled at the promises of God? I'll be honest with you, there's been times I've struggled at the promises of God. For him to say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, or for him to say that you can run unto him and he would be your refuge and hide you and take care of you. But I want you to understand something. If you read on in the passage, in just a few chapters over, you'll find out exactly what God had to say come to pass. It come to pass just like God said it would. You need to understand today that, friend, when God says something, it will come to pass. It's going to happen. I mean, you can't figure it any other way. My word may not be that good, but I know that the Word of God is perfect and trustworthy to stake my very faith and my very eternity in His Word. You realize that's what we're doing, don't you? We're staking our very faith and eternity in what God's Word has said. Without that book right there, we would know nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ. We would know nothing about eternity. We'd know nothing about heaven and hell. We'd know nothing about judgment. We'd know nothing about Him outside of this book today. And I'm glad we have a completed revelation and that of the Word of God. He told us in the book of Isaiah, He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Our thinking does not always line up with God's way of doing things. Let me ask you something today. How many times have we needed to see God move and wanted God to move and knew that this would be the best thing and God moved, but boy, it sure didn't move like we thought He was going to move. You ever had that happen? I seen move like that. Listen, Psalms chapter 115 said, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He's pleased. You know, God will do it however He wants to do it, when He wants to do it, and how He'll do it today. But He is able, our God is able to do anything as He chooses today. Now, listen, the word hard, now we're talking about hard. What did the Bible say over in verse 14 in the text verse? And here Abraham, or actually Sarah, excuse me, Sarah, she said, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah lie, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? And so the Lord just asked the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? No, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. You know what the word hard means? It means something that is firm or solid. We understand that. This is hard right here. This pulpit is hard, but it also means not yielding to pressure. It means difficult, or not easily done. And that's what that verse is talking about right there. When he talks about, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything that is too difficult that He can't do? It means painful or distressing or laborious or fatiguing. Or when we talk about somebody that's hard, they're unfeeling or not moved with pity or not susceptible to kindness or mercy. And I have a hard heart. is what that's talking about. But here it talks about, is anything too hard for the Lord? Too difficult or not? You know, I think everything's easy for the Lord. You know, I do. I really believe that today. He's the one that created us. He's the one that created this world. I listen, and the short answer and the long answer too, how with the Lord, is there anything too hard? No, the answer is no. So number one this morning, let's just look at this. Is it hard to save a sinner? I think the Lord Jesus faced some hard things. I think had it not been for him going to Calvary, there's no way that me and you could have got saved today. I mean, what did the Apostle Paul say in 1 Timothy chapter 1? This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know, he can save anybody. He'll save folk that me and you don't want him to save. He'll save folk that we don't think is worthy of salvation. He'll save them. He can save him. He'll save the drunk. At least if you go back and you're looking at Scripture, you'll find out in Mark chapter 5, you'll find a man by the name of Legion over there that was nothing more than full of the devil, running through the tombs. He was cutting himself, screaming and hollering day and night. They'd try to bind him with chains. They couldn't tame him. But when he came to the Lord, what happened? He got him clothed, seated, and clothed, and in his right mind. Something that they had tried and tried to do prior to that, and Jesus done it just like that. Listen, he can save a sinner. Think about Mary Magdalene. You know, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ cast 7 devils out of Mary Magdalene and saved her. And you know, when she got saved, she fell in love with the Lord, didn't she? Go by, hey, I ain't talking about some perverted way, but boy, she just loved Jesus. I'm telling you what, when you fall in love with him today, you realize how much you've been forgiven of your sin. That's been wiped clean in order to make you love him more and more. What was it that he asked that lawyer over there? He said, who will love the most? Him that's been forgiven little or forgiven the most? He said, the one that's been forgiven the most. He said, you've rightfully said. When you realize how much you've been forgiven, you're loving most. I'm telling you, was it hard for him to save Mary Magdalene? No, it wasn't hard. Was it hard for him to... I believe Nicodemus got saved. I do. He was found with Joseph of Arimathea over there at the body of Christ. They were the ones that took him and anointed his body. I believe old Nicodemus got saved. Nicodemus wasn't a bad man. He was a good man. But he still needed to get saved. Is it too hard for the Lord to save a sinner? Why, no, it ain't too hard for the Lord. I mean, what did he say in Luke 19:10? I know it's one of my favorite verses. But for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he came for, was lost people. He came to save sinners. We get to thinking a lot of times that God can't save them. Or God won't save them. Why, of course he'll save them. I mean, he'll say, if they'll just come to him, he'll save them. But is it too hard? Well, no, it ain't hard at all. I thought about, as I studied this, I thought about Peter, James, and John. All them boys, James and John were the sons of thunder, and they were just fishermen. And for lack of better words, that's good old boys. And I mean, they knew how to work, and they did work, and how they supported their family, but they still needed Jesus. You remember even when Peter realized who the Lord was, he wanted the Lord to get away from him because he said, I'm a sinful man. Peter knew what he was. Hey, I still remember what I was. I was just a sinner needing salvation by grace. And that may be where you're at today. I don't know your heart. I look across the house. I just about say everybody's saved in here. I don't know. But I'm telling you that if you'll come to him, he'll save you. It ain't that hard. Even Saul of Tarsus, who chased the church and persecuted the church and killed the church, listen, he was able to save Saul just like that right there. It's not hard to get saved. It's not hard for God to save a sinner. We've all, for you that are sitting in here today, you know what it's like to get saved and what it is. It's a very easy thing. You say, you're talking about easy believing. No, I'm not talking about easy believing. I'm telling you, salvation is not that hard today. Take your Bible and go to the book of Romans chapter 10. I'm getting ahead of myself, but you know what happens We as church people make it harder than what it ought to be. Preachers make it harder. Saved people make it harder. Look in Romans chapter 10. Look in verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe that he lived, died, and rose again, and realize that you need him, and you call out to him, he'll save you. What did Peter do in the midst of the storm when he was out there? You remember what Peter did when he was in that boat, and he gets out and he's walking on the water and he begins to sink and he sees his situation? What does he say? Lord, save me. I believe that'll do the trick. If I could say it that way. A little bit of English vernacular or worldly vernacular, but I believe that would do it. I believe when a sinner comes and wants to get saved, our friend, it's about the heart. What's cried out from the heart? God's looking at the heart and wants to know if you want to get saved or not. It's not too hard. We make it hard. I don't believe in easy believism. I don't. What's that mean for you? That's when you go up to somebody and just get them to make a profession. Listen, just because you hand them a tract. And I believe you can hand somebody a tract and they can get saved off that thing right there if God deals with their heart. But if they don't realize they're lost, saying any prayer that they want to say ain't going to help them, friend, till they realize that Jesus, they need Jesus in their life. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I remember years ago, a young lady came and got saved right here. And there was her and her boyfriend was shacking up together. They was living together. And I remember leaving. She got saved that morning. And I remember leaving that day. And me and my wife, as we do a lot of times, we talk about how service went. And I told her, I remember this. And I remember saying, well, we'll find out if that thing was real or not. We'll find out, because I'm going to tell you right now, if that's real, then she's not going to go back to doing what she was doing. I come back to church that night and I asked around and asked where she was. I thought, well, if she's got saved, she ought to be back in church. And I remember coming back that night and asking around where she went. She went home that day after she got saved, packed her clothes up, and went back home to mom and daddy. That's where she went. And I thought, I believe that girl got it. Amen. I believe she got what was real. In her life. And I'm going to tell you, salvation becomes real in our life. It's not hard to get saved. Where it gets hard at in salvation is folk want to do it on their own. That's a hard salvation to have. I mean, you can't do it on your own. I mean, Brother Jeff talked about it in Sunday school last week, and this week, there is a way which seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Religion will kill you, man. It'll work you to death, leave you empty the whole time, and won't even get you into heaven at the end of it all. Religion will kill you. I'm going to tell you, it gets hard. You know, religion is laborious. Religion is fatiguing. And I know that in service to the Lord we get tired, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm preaching on, is there anything too hard? It's not too hard to get saved, but when folk are trying to work their way into heaven and always trying to do good, 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 to outweigh the bad, it'll never work, friend. When you lay your sin upon the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that God the Father put that sin on him and realize that he took it for you and me, hey, that changes everything in salvation. I'm not trying to work my way in. I'm getting in on the works of Christ. You realize that? We're getting in on the works of Christ. What was it in Ephesians chapter 4 and 1, verse 30? And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God forgave us because of the Lord Jesus Christ, not for anything we done. Where it gets hard is folk want to work it on their own, or they refuse to believe. You're not going to get anybody saved or see anybody saved until folk believe. You can present the gospel all day long, and we're supposed to present the gospel. One plants, one waters, but it's God that giveth the increase. But until people believe, they're not going to be able to get saved. They're not going to be able to get into heaven. I thought about the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus. When the Lord shined that light from heaven, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And then he said this, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." You know where salvation gets hard at is when folk just won't come. That's where it gets hard at. The conviction gets hard. It gets real hard, as a matter of fact. He said, "It's you know that gold that the shepherds had, and then they had them spikes on it." He said, "Saul," he said, "you're kicking against them things," and he said, "It's hard for you to do that." And folk just don't want to give up. I thought about Mark chapter 10. I read about this fellow last week, and then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And said unto him, you know, this is that one that come to him and said, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord tells him, he says, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good except one, that ye follow God in heaven." And he says, "You know the law." And he comes on through there and he says, "I've kept that from my youth up." And he said, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give it to the poor. And now I shall have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had had great possessions. It was going to be hard for him to get saved because he wouldn't give up to what he was holding on to. Some people just will not give up to what they're holding on to. Maybe water baptism. Maybe. I want to be very careful what I say right here, because I don't want people to understand that. I want you to understand I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation. I believe when a man, woman, or girl comes and asks the Lord to save them, I believe he'll save them. I believe we've tried too much in a Baptist church to talk people out of their salvation. I believe that with all my heart. I've sat through too many services. But I do think you need to know that you're saved. I think you need to have that settled and nailed down in your heart. And I listen and know that the profession that you've made is real, friend. They wouldn't turn loose of something that he was holding on to. You know, if you go to Matthew chapter 19, it talks about how that it's a hard thing for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And you know, even the disciples asked that question, that who then can be saved? And the Lord said, "With man this thing is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So nothing's too hard for the Lord. He can save a rich man if he'll just turn loose of his riches. If that's what he's holding on. What was it the Lord said in Luke chapter 9? You ever read Luke chapter 9? Go read Luke chapter 9 and come back and tell me if I ain't telling you the truth. I really believe that Luke chapter 9 is probably one of the most problematic chapters that the Lord ever dealt with in his ministry. Some of it was with his disciples over there. And as I heard one preacher say one time, they were back there flipping nickels to see who was going to be the greatest, you know. And I thought, boy, that's something to think about. Let me stop right here and say this. Wouldn't you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? Ask that question for just a second. What would it take to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? Well, if I'd done this and this and this. You know what the Lord said? He that is the least would be the greatest. Let that settle in while I preach. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. You know why folk can't get saved? They won't deny themselves. They won't turn loose of their self. They won't believe what God has said, and they won't quit thinking about their way and doing it their way. He said, deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And he said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. You got to give it up for the Lord. It's not hard for God to save a sinner. We make it hard. As church people, we make it hard for folk to get saved sometimes. We put so much on people that, they say, I can't live that life. I can't do that. And let me say this, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't live that life. You can't live as a Christian should without his help. But we've put so much on people over the years, to tell them they got to do this and this and this and this. I believe that there must be, according to the Word of God, there must be a work of repentance in the heart. I don't believe you can get saved without repentance. I mean, you can go through and look at Scripture, but in my mind, and we can argue this point later, when you get saved and you come by faith and accept Christ, you're repenting of your sins and who you are and what you are right then. Because outside of anything else, that's a work. Now, this is where we get a little hairy sometimes in Scripture, and I realize that, but I'm going to say this, that if you walk out that, you come in here and you tell me you get saved, and you walk out that door, and there's not a change, and there's not a new desire, I tell you didn't get saved. Something changed on the inside of me. I've had my problems over the years. My flesh has got the best of me. Listen, I ain't always lived right, done right, thought right, been right. Hey, I understand that, but something happened on the inside of me the day I got saved. And I didn't realize all that either. Looking back, some things changed. Man, I fell in love with church. I did. I mean, I can't understand that. Fell in love with the Lord and fell in love with church. I did. Something happened. I can't explain all that. Except it was the Lord. But we got to turn loose of us. God turn loose of us. There must be repentance. But I'm going to tell you, if folk go out there, they get saved and walk out them doors out there, and we keep telling them that they if they mess up one time, then they didn't get it. And man, they, none of us got it. He said if, in the book of James, he said if you've been, he said if you've offended the law in one point, then you're guilty of all of them. Now, I'm not telling you you're going to go out there and mess up. I think we need to strive to live righteous. I like holiness and righteousness. I do. I like holiness. But that don't make me better than everybody else. A lot of people have got a misconception. I don't know how we got here, but boy, it's going to be good. A lot of people have a misconception that when you're trying to live holy and righteous, that you think you're better than everybody else. No, that's what unholy and unrighteous people put on the people that are holy and righteous. Why do you want to live that way? You think you're better than I am. Has nothing to do with me thinking that I'm better than you are. It has everything to do that I'm wanting to line up with Christ Jesus the Lord. That's what it has to do with. How you're living does not affect what I'm doing. Whether you live right or holy does not matter to me about my holiness or my righteousness. I think you ought to live holy and righteous. And by the way, we'll see here in a minute that that's not too hard either. It's not too hard to get saved. Can I tell you, number two, it's not too hard for God to move in your life. A lot of times we just think God ain't never going to move. We ain't never going to see God work. And things is just, it's too hard for Him to do this. We come back to the text verse over here. And this is something Abraham, God has promised Abraham. Now listen, God didn't promise Abraham something that could happen naturally. He promised something that's going to have to happen supernaturally. I mean, Sarah has passed the time of bearing children, and if this thing happens, it's going to be supernatural. Amen. I mean, without God intervening, listen, how many in our life has been in that shape? It's just too hard for God to do this. In chapter 17, Abraham lives. In chapter 18, Sarah lives. And they live at what God has to say. How many of us have, maybe not necessarily lived, but we thought, well, you know, we grinned in our heart and we thought, no, God ain't going to be able to work here. We ain't going to be able to see God move and do something here. Or maybe we really believed that and we didn't grin in life, but we were brokenhearted. And we wept and cried and thought, God will not move here. God can't do something here. God can't move in this situation. And we really believed that. We really believed that it was too hard for God to do something in our life. When's the last time that you prayed, but you really just didn't pray in faith? when you prayed, you really thought, well, I'm going to pray, but I just don't think there's much reason to ask the Lord to do this. It's just going to be too hard. I can't see a way for Him to work it out. When we look through our physical eyes and through our fleshly eyes, it's always going to be too hard for God to work it out. We don't know what God can do. We don't know how God affects hearts. I know a preacher one time, his daughters were at odds with each other. And he got to praying, Lord, do whatever it takes to get my daughters back together on a reconciliation basis. Put them back together. Let me tell you what God done. God let him have a stroke. And in the process of him having a stroke, God put them girls back together. He said, well, boy, I sure ain't going to be praying for God to do whatever it takes. I might have a stroke. See, it gets hard in our mind how, don't you think that's hard, preacher, for God to do that? His prayer was, God, do whatever it takes. I'm telling you, I'm not sure that your pastor would have thought that God would have done that. I'll be honest with you, sometimes I look at some of the things God does, and I know I'm veering out here from the message, but what God does, sometimes old Mark thinks God's on fire about some things. I know a preacher right now over in North Carolina, he wasn't living right, and some of you heard me tell this story. His three girls were playing in a field on a clear sunny day, and God took one of them by a strike of lightning to get his attention. That'd be a hard thing to face, wouldn't it? I don't know how I got there, but it's good. We think God can't move sometimes. The Bible said when we pray, he said in Psalms 4, he said, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Do you realize God's listening to you? He's listening. You living for him? You living right? You living holy? You living righteous? I don't think you can live any old way you just want to live and then expect to gather up around the altar somewhere and pray and expect God to hear you. I don't. I'll be honest with you. I mean, what was it he talked about in Psalm 66? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Isaiah 59 talks about how that it's our iniquity that hath cut us off from the face of God. I don't think you can have sin in your life. I think that makes for hard praying in hard times. The Bible said at one point that the ways of a transgressor is hard. You want to sin? Help yourself. Going to be hard. Psalms 34 said, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Have you ever found it hard to pray? I mean just hard to pray. Not know what to pray for. How to pray, feel unworthy to pray. Know what you are and say, Lord, how is it that you can even hear me knowing what I am? I mean, there's some days that old Mark knows that he's righteous and in the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm trying my best to serve. But then there's some days the devil reminds me of where I come from, what I was. I thank God I ain't what I was. I am different now, but I still remember that I'm a sinner. And I think, boy, the God in heaven wants to listen to me. Who am I to approach the throne of grace? Right in Hebrews said, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. He just didn't say approach it. He said approach it boldly. That means coming in with your head held up. That means coming. Hey, I'm telling you, you can come and talk to the Lord. I know it gets hard to pray. I know that we have trouble. I know that we have problems. Listen, the Bible said in Romans 8, likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we don't know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When you don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that that one that resides on the inside, he begins to talk to heaven for you. And he says, look, he don't know, she don't know what to pray for. She don't know how to pray. He don't know how to pray. But let me tell you, this is what they need. Ain't you glad of that? He said, he that searcheth the hearts, what is the mind of the Spirit? And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit, when he prays for you and intercedes for you, he already knows what the will of God is for your life, and he's asking for what you need. It's not hard for God to move in your life when we'll let him move. When we'll ask him to move, when we'll cast on, what is it, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you, instead of us holding on to it and us trying to handle it and us trying to take care of it and us holding the burden and us holding the fear and us holding all this and that and this and that. Hey, as long as we've got it, God can't handle it. I feel like I need to hurry. When we refuse to wait on God, God can't help us. Sometimes we got to wait on him. That's my biggest problem a lot of times. I want to get a hold of God. I think there's somebody in here this morning. You're thinking God can't help you. That it's too hard for God. It ain't too hard for God. It ain't too hard for God. Listen, if you'll cry out to him, he'll hear and he'll answer and he'll help. He'll come by and help. Ain't you glad God is your help today? He's my helper. We look toward the mountains from which cometh our help, the Lord. Last of all, let me ask you this. How many of us thinks that it's hard to serve the Lord? Do we think it's hard to serve God? You know what little John said? 1 John chapter 5, he said, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. What are you going to do with that? Do you know it's not hard to serve God? He said, after he gave that great verse in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, where he said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Ain't you glad that if you're lost, you can come and you can find rest? If this world is wearing you out, you can come and find rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not right with God, you can come and find rest in the Lord Jesus Christ if you'll let him have it. But the next verse said this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. And you know what the very last verse said? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not hard to serve God. When we want to follow, we can. You know what made it hard in the Latham house when I was growing up? It wasn't my mom and dad. It wasn't the rules of my mom and dad. It was just that old Mark just didn't want to do them. I had something else to do, or wanted to do something else, or wanted to go my own way, or just wanted to be lazy. My mother used to say, she'd say, I tell you to tie your shoes, put your shoes on in time. And she said, you'd sit there. And she said, I'd say it a second time. And you'd just sit there. And she said, I'd get up to whoop you on the third time. And she said, why are you looking at Gunner? She said, you'd get up. She said, I'd get up the third time. Jennifer had to crane her neck all the way around, look at Gunner, you know. And she said, I'd get up the third time. And she said, you'd grab your shoes up and say, well, I'd put them on, Mama. That's what I'd say. You know, a lot of times we wait until the Lord really, really has to get our attention. And then we tell him, well, we're doing it, Lord. Serving him is not hard. But can I say this? I've thought about this because I know the reality and the truth of this, that in the service, it does get hard. Well, what do you mean? What did he say in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2? He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, most men that are in the military, they want to be in the military today. We ain't drafting nobody. And I know the judge sends a few along the way, but most people that are there wants to be there. They have chose that life. Do you realize being a soldier is hard? Some of you all have served. You know it's hard. Especially when you first get there. They got you marching all the time. They got you serving all the time. It's rigorous sometimes. Hey, I'm going to tell you, sometimes the battle gets hard because we do have an adversary, and it's just tough sometimes. Ain't your adversary mean? My adversary's mean. He'll drag stuff. I've been thinking about this. He'll drag stuff up on you that happened a long time ago, and he'll worry you to death over that stuff. I'm not talking about stuff that ain't real. I'm talking about stuff that's real. Something maybe you done here, I mean, that he can accuse you with. But it's under the blood. If you got saved, I've done it since it's under the blood. You realize you got forgiven of all your sins, past, present, and future, when you got saved. Now, I realize you got to deal with those things. I understand that. You got to deal with your sin. You got to deal with your relationship with Christ Jesus the Lord. But I'm talking about being forgiven, the slate wiped clean. I'm still just as saved today that I was when I got saved. Now, boy, what a great day it was when I learned that Jesus forgave me of all sin. But there's hardness because of the adversary. He's hard to deal with sometimes. But greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. He can help you overcome that hardness. You're of God, little children, have overcome them because greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. Sometimes it gets hard because, listen, along this life, hard things happen. We do go down to the funeral home and stand in a line. We do have people come through the receiving line as we say goodbye to somebody that we love. And we have to stand down there. And this is what I've never understood. We stand down there with a smile on our face and shake people's hands and tell them that we're glad to see them, that they come by. And you know why we're able to do that? You know why we're able to do that? Because if that person laying in that casket is saved, we realize that that's not the last time we'll see them again. We're going to miss them. It's going to be hard to say goodbye. They shut that lid for the last time. It makes a difference, man. But there's one in heaven that can help us through the hardness of this life. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Lord, I ain't going to make it this time. I ain't going to get through it this time. And you know what he does? He just comes by and he hugs up on your heart and he loves you. Let's bow our heads this morning.